the big bands, the small groups, and new swing music. Hear it all on Swing Time, Monday 2 till 4, the only swing on this radio thing.
Jim Jab Jump is solid jive.
Makes you 9 foot tall when you're 4 foot five.
With your host, on WHFR.
My name is Bam, and I invite you to join me for my newest show called The Mix with Bam, every Thursday from 9 to midnight. The 3-hour mix is spun by guest DJs from around the world, featuring the very best in electronic music. It's all hosted by me, every single Thursday from 9 to midnight, right here on the only station making waves, WHFR.
If you want to change the world, then you have to change yourself. One of the best places in the Metro Detroit area to improve your life is Henry Ford Community College. Henry Ford Community College offers dozens of degree and certificate programs, plus the opportunity to network with your peers and potential employers. Taking classes at Henry Ford Community College gives you the freedom to take your own career path and opens up an infinite number of career possibilities. Additionally, day and evening classes allow you the flexibility of building a schedule tailored to your busy lifestyle. So change the world, change yourself at Henry Ford Community College. For more information on admittance and financial aid and class schedules, call the Henry Ford Community College toll-free number at 1-800-585-HFCC. Again, that's 1-800-585-HFCC.
Henry Ford Community College has a medical practice clinical management degree program that will prepare you for a rewarding career in the exciting field of healthcare. You can earn a certificate as a medical office assistant or a 2-year degree in medical office management. For more information, give us a call at 800-585-HFCC.
Think you have what it takes? We do. Henry Ford Community College. Visit us online at hfcc.edu.
We've been angry.
We've been hurt.
We've been lonely.
We've been pressured.
We've been ashamed.
We've been miserable.
We've been hopeless.
We've been lost.
We've been labeled.
We've been invisible.
We've been controlled.
We've been judged.
If you're one of the more than 26 million teens living in the U.S. today, chances are you'll go through your share of tough times. Let's face it, being a teen isn't easy. We know because we've been there.
We've been accepted.
We've been supported.
We've been confident.
We've been brave.
Check out reachout.com to hear teens share their own stories on how they've made it through tough times. You might even find ways to deal with all you're dealing with. Because we've been there, we can help each other.
We've been inspired.
We've been determined.
We've been acknowledged.
We've been given a chance.
We've been there.
We've been there.
We can help us.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Inspire USA Foundation, and the Ad Council.
This is an official station of the MAEB.
MAEB.
The Michigan Association of Educational Broadcasters was formed in 1977 to support your local high school and college radio stations. These stations serve the community and create alternative programming. But most importantly, they discover and train the next generation of broadcasters. For more information on the MAEB and its affiliates, visit www.maeb.org.
Hello, hi, I'm the Jumper, the one, the host of Southern Blues After Midnight. Every Thursday midnight till 2 a.m., we get your weekend started. So, hey, let a friend, enemy, everybody know about it right here on WHFR 89.3.
Hello, everyone. My name's Tammy. I'm a staff member here at WHFR FM Dearborn. And I would like to wish all of you a happy, happy, and a merry, merry for this beautiful holiday season.
This is Omni 646 of the Rhythmic Ride and 89.3
the only station making waves, wishing you and yours a happy and safe holiday season.
Welcome to Impact. This is Lynn, your host of Impact, and we are here on the fourth Tuesday of the month from 1 until 2 p.m. with individuals and groups who are making a positive difference in the community. You are listening to a pre-recorded show here on WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves. And with us today is Kim Gross and Stephanie Gross. If you would introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about what you're doing with the Forget Me Not Thrift Store.
My name is Kim Gross, and this is my daughter,
Stephanie.
And I am the founder of Forget Me Not Thrift Store, which is located at 1093 Fort Street in Lincoln Park.
Okay. And I've been to a few thrift stores. I've seen some upscale resale and some that are kind of interesting. Tell me what makes yours different.
I believe mine is a high-end product for a low-end price. I have a little twist on the thrift store. I'm a small thrift store, and I'm individual. It's just one thrift store. And I knew that I could not compete with the big boys, the big Idahos, I call them, and I'm the baby red potato. So I had to have a different concept. So what I did, I am connected with estate sale companies. And what they do is after they have their estate sales, they ask me, or Forget Me Not Thrift Store, a nonprofit 501c3 charity, to come out and get what's left over from the estate sales. So I get a lot of great products. It's generally in a high-end community. I pick up from Bloomfield Hills and West Bloomfield and Birmingham, and the pieces that I pick up are really nice. It would be Henrodon or Baker, Ethan Allen, Waterford Crystal. So I have a lot of cool pieces in my shop.
Yeah. So you are doing resale with furniture, with kitchenware,
household glassware,
products. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Clothing, shoes.
You do handle clothing.
A lot of clothing, a lot of designer clothing, a lot of designer shoes.
Okay.
Handbags, a lot of accessories, jewelry, vintage jewelry. Get a lot of vintage and antique pieces, a lot of antique furniture. I get a lot of really pretty linens, tablecloths and napkins, and a lot of cool things.
Oh, neat. Really neat. Okay, so you have a 501c thrift store. Who benefits from such a store?
Well, our platform is educating the community of suicide prevention and awareness and mental health issues. And we give, I would say, all of our profit, really, to our platform. Of course, you have things that you have to pay for, like your rent and your light bill.
Right.
But everything else that we receive goes to our platform. I'm not an educator by no means, but I know how to make some money.
Okay.
So I take that money and I turn it around and I give it to those organizations who are educating.
Okay.
One of the organizations is Mom Mind Over Matter. The founder, Julie, lost her mom about 7 or 8 years ago, I believe, to suicide. And she has a huge 5K race in Royal Oak. I think there was over 600 people there last year.
Oh.
And that's in May. It's always the Saturday before Mother's Day.
Okay.
In her memory.
Okay.
So that's one of the organizations that we promote and help fund. Another one is called Abba's House, and they are in Grand Rapids, and they're a faith-based organization that helps young people who struggle with depression and suicide attempts, problems in that area. And then No Resolve, which is K-N-O-W, Resolve, and that's Dennis. He lost his father to suicide when he was a teenager. And then he spent the next 10-plus years just running around doing drugs and alcohol and chasing that suicide around. And now he goes into the school systems, and he's a musician, connects with the kids through his music. Mm-hmm. We just attended his benefit, his one large benefit each year, and it was absolutely packed. It was amazing how much support there was for Dennis.
Sure. Okay, so these are different types of, you're throughout the state helping, and you're helping different types of causes. Are there any core causes that you work with on a regular basis, or whether it's weekly, daily, that sort of thing?
Well, in regard to the thrift store, I probably I talk every day about suicide prevention. Every single day that I'm at that store, somebody comes in and we have a lot of printed material and they'll pick something up, and that just kind of opens up the door for people to talk. I think one of the big factors with people, especially the survivors of suicide, you need to talk. You have to talk it out. And that kind of gives them a place, a safe place. You know, unless they come back into my store, they'll never see me again. So they'll, and hopefully they'll come back. But right. If they don't, you know, they can say what they want to me and they may never see me again. You know, to me, that's, you know, a lot cheaper than going to a therapist, right. Although I think therapy is great. I just think it really helps to talk it out. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of talking there, and it's usually just me. I do have some volunteers and that come out and help me, but basically it's just me there. I mean, mm-hmm. I do a lot of talking, mm-hmm. obviously.
But it is, if regardless of how someone who's close to you has passed away, it's mm-hmm. still shocking. And yes. It is something that, when you have a loss like that, it is something you need to talk to somebody.
Absolutely.
And it's fantastic that you're there.
Oh, thank you.
How did you, what inspired you to get involved with this?
Well, 5 years ago, actually 5 years ago this past Monday, my nephew, Bradley, passed away of suicide. He was a 21-year-old pre-med student. Mm-hmm. He lived in Tennessee. My sister lives in Tennessee. It's Bradley was her son, or is her son. And it was devastating. We had no clue. My daughter Stephanie was extremely close with her cousin Bradley, mm-hmm. and we just didn't know. And after his death, of course, like any family or any death, but such a horrific death, it really knocked us for a loop. I mean, it just totally, it was like a boulder just falling down on you. And I would say Bradley was gone a year, 2 years. We had actually just got his headstone installed at the cemetery. My sister had ordered a beautiful, huge rock from China, and it took a long time for it to come here, and then it had to be carved, and it was a big process. And we probably got that installed in November. And 2 months after that, my 26-year-old high school math teacher daughter-in-law took her life. I have one son. He's my oldest, Daniel. Mm-hmm. And his wife, Karen, took her life also. So I can't even begin to tell you, having one suicide in the family and then having another one, it was almost like we were not even on the planet Earth anymore. What, holy moly, what's going on?
What would happen?
It was pretty devastating. And you had also said about being in shock. I remember going to therapy after my daughter-in-law passed away, and I was surprised, but I was kind of glad. She told me, the therapist said, you will be in shock for probably a year, and that was true. And then you start to heal after you can kind of get over the shock a little bit.
Right.
But the shock could last up to a year for us. I don't know how long, like my son, that would be for him, but I know for me as the mother-in-law.
Right.
And that really helped me to know what different stages I would be going through. And then after that, I could start grieving, or, you know, you have all kinds of emotions.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because a lot of times you hear that the second year is actually harder than the first
yes.
year. And I think that's exactly what it is. You're in shock that first year.
The
first
yes.
time that individual is not there for a birthday
right.
or some sort of an anniversary, in the right. case of your son, their mm-hmm. wedding anniversary.
Absolutely.
And then the next year, it's even harder.
Well, I think, as you said, the first year you're in shock, and the second year you realize they're not coming back. So it was harder the second year. Mm-hmm. And with our family, Bradley died in November, and December, and Karen died in January. They were just weeks apart as far as time-wise goes. And then my son's wedding anniversaries also in December and Christmas and Thanksgiving. So it is a very difficult time for us, the holidays from Thanksgiving through Certainly. The New Year. And if we can get through that segment of time of the year, we're okay after that. So right. we're struggling a little bit right now, but we'll make it through.
Mm-hmm. With the different causes that you've worked with and with just some of your own not scientific research that you've done, which is part of living.
Yes.
Have you found that there tends to be a higher rate of suicide at the holiday time anyway?
I do. Just by reading newspaper articles, listening to the news, people who come into my store, people that tell you stories, it seems like the holidays are a very rough time for people.
I have heard that.
Yes, and that you read statistics and things like that, and it seems like the holidays are really a rough time. And I know that a lot of therapists, and I'm sure pastors and others, people who deal with subjects like this, they kind of guide or direct or kind of give people who struggle in that area, heads up. If you have a difficult time during this time, you need to call or, make an appointment with your therapist or talk to your mother or whatever it may be. It is a difficult time.
Yeah. Stephanie, tell us about you're coming at it from the angle of a cousin that you were close to. And just tell us a little bit about your experience. I don't even know exactly how to phrase a question.
Yeah.
it's a complicated issue. It's a sensitive issue. And it's been how many years now?
This year, it's been 5 years since Brad died, and like my mom had said, the first year is you're still in shock. I still go down there hoping he's going to come back from school, but honestly, I think after Karen died, it was a blow to our family, but it was like, how did this happen again? Now what can I do? What am I going to do to start impacting other people? What am I going to do to spread the word about depression? Our family definitely deals with depression, and me personally, I deal with it, and I want to be able to help somebody else. So I got together with my sister-in-law's sister, Michelle, and we wanted to start running.
Okay.
And this is how we found the mom race, the Mind Over Matter, and we said, all right, this is our goal. We're going to have the largest team. So for the last 3 years, we've had the largest team, and it's a sad time to get together because you're reminiscing about, lost loved ones, but you're also able to talk about them, and you just share memories and stories, and it's a very refreshing time. So, like my mom had said, the Mind Over Matter race is the first Saturday of May 5th this year, and if anyone's interested in walking or running or
5K
jogging,
race.
Yep, it's a 5K race. It's a good day. It's mm-hmm. it's a very good day. Whether you've lost somebody or not, it's a fun race and it's a good time.
They have a memory board there where you can bring pictures of your loved one and share that. And then after the race, we have a huge barbecue at my house and everybody's invited.
Okay.
Yep.
So it's definitely a way of turning a very negative experience into positive, and finding other people who have been through the same situation, that is so helpful for everybody to be able to talk about things that you've experienced that other people haven't.
Right, and you're I'm surprised at how many people I've come across that have too lost somebody or know of a friend who's committed suicide or a family member or a friend of a friend, and to be able to talk about that, maybe I'm so much further in my healing process, but their healing process has just started. You're able to, help them and, not even knowing it, just let them listen to them. And that's my goal, is to try to promote prevention and promote mental health awareness, because I think there's such a negative stigma with it. Alongside with forget-me-not, but as my personal goal, that's what I'm trying to achieve.
All right. Are you part of the store?
I help her. Yep. yeah, from time absolutely. To time, you'll find me on the register and ringing things up and pricing.
I
go to estate sales.
Healthy. That's right. When my yep. son, when I find out my son has a day off, I'll go, oh, you have a day off, Daniel? do you think you could help me do an estate sale? And he's like, oh, mama.
Yep, we've...
But he helps. They all help.
Yep, yep.
How do you, you mentioned that you're working with like an estate, what's the correct term?
Estate sale,
mm-hmm. liquidation
yes,
company or what have you.
Yes.
How do you actually get these, and I was at the store and I did see some absolutely beautiful, beautiful pieces
Thank
in there.
You.
How do you get everything into the store?
It's very difficult
okay.
to get everything into the store. I have a lot of stuff in there and every day I'll have somebody come in and say, oh, who set the store up? It's beautiful. And I'm like, it's not that I have talent by no means. It's just how do you get so much stuff into a small space? You have to be very, very creative.
Mm-hmm.
But the two estate sale companies that I partner with, and they're wonderful people and very giving, and I'm so appreciative that they chose me to be the charity of choice.
Okay.
So that's, I am so grateful and so honored to, mm-hmm. to be able to pick up their leftovers, which they're not leftovers, they're beautiful items, and they just didn't sell it in an estate sale.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So creative display and what have you.
Creative display,
right.
Yes. That's a good term. I'm going to use that term.
Creative
display.
Do you have sort of like seasonal type displays where you have a lot of pastels that come out in the springtime, that sort of thing?
I try to do that. I didn't do much this year for Christmas, unfortunately. I will next year. Last year, I actually had a little Christmas store, and it was next door. And my landlord let me use a store next door for a couple of months, and we set it up with all Christmas items.
Okay.
And we didn't do that this year, but we are planning on it for next
okay.
year.
Okay, all right.
And when Easter comes around, we like to put out all the rabbits we can find and baskets and a lot of pastels and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. So you have Valentine's Day and Sweetest Day, and you try to do what the other retail stores do.
Right, okay. Do you find that people come in looking for seasonal things, or
all the time.
Is there a seasonal trend to thrift
it's,
shopping?
Or? You know, it's kind of funny when people come in. I was telling someone this the other day. I had this young girl came up to me and said, had a dress, and she said, do you have this in blue? No. They only bought it in red. I'm so sorry.
It's resale, not retail.
Yeah. It's funny, but...
Oh, that's funny. But are people shopping for any, like, Christmas presents? Are they looking for different types of Christmas gifts?
Yes, they are. I think the one thing that I've noticed, kind of tracking, just mentally tracking, I get a lot of, I'm going to buy myself a gift. I love this French armoire, and it's Christmas time, and I think I'm going to buy myself a present. I'm like, okay, that sounds good to me. So yeah, there is a lot of shopping, although I think people do buy retail mainly during the Christmas holiday, but you still have those people who come out and look. And then there's also items that are almost staples in my store that really sell a lot, which would be mattresses and box springs
okay.
and bed frames. I can't keep them in. They sell like hotcakes.
Okay, that would make sense.
Yes.
Yes, people are setting up a new place or an apartment or something.
Yes, and clothing will always be your biggest seller in a thrift store.
Mm-hmm.
So, I sell a lot of clothing and household items. People, a lot of college students come in.
Sure.
Their parents will come in and
sure.
they're setting them up in their new little dorm room or a little apartment or... wherever they're going away, and get dishware and pots and pans and things that they would just need, you know, to set up housekeeping.
Right, right. The things that you basically, if you've been living in a place, whether it's an apartment or you've been on your own at some level
mm-hmm.
for years, you don't even think about.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you reach into the cupboard and get a pan.
Mm-hmm.
You reach into the cupboard and get a plate. But
right.
If you have never set up a household before, you don't have those things.
And when I came into your studio,
mm-hmm.
when I first walked in, I seen all the records. And I thought, oh, I have hundreds and hundreds of records.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have so many records. And I'm like, I could donate records to you
Fine.
Guys.
Sure. And actually, I think most of the vinyl collection has been based on donations to this to the station. Yeah,
that's great.
So we have a large collection right here at Henry Ford. Okay, so far as seasonal type shopping, Christmas gifts are primarily purchased for yourself, which is a great it's a great concept because and you can justify it because it's a thrift store.
Right, right. And then after the first of the year, the hot item in our store is exercise equipment because everybody's going on a diet.
Oh, in January, the New Year's resolution.
New Year's resolution. Okay. So I've already started selling those exercise pieces of equipment this past week. A really nice exercise bike, a lady came in and bought it. She actually wanted it, and she didn't buy it the first day. And the second day, she came back and bought it and said, "Would you deliver it for me?" And I tried to deliver furniture to people that are in my community, like within a mile away. So I said, "Sure." So we loaded it on the back of a pickup truck and took it to her house. Hopefully, she's pedaling away, getting a jump start on that diet.
There you go. You are listening to Impact, and this is a pre-recorded show today. We are currently talking to Kim and Stephanie Gross about the Forget-Me-Not Thrift Store. And Stephanie, again, tell me about your, you get kind of pulled into the store every now
I get pulled into the store every now and then, if I have a day off or she needs me or whatever comes up. I grew up in the thrift store industry and cashiering and pricing and all sorts of stuff. So I kind of know the ropes when it comes to thrift stores, except for I'm not as good as she is with pricing. The days that I'm there, things tend to be a little bit cheaper. So those are the good days to come in and shop. But I enjoy it. I like the people. The community is a very tight-knit community. Mm-hmm. And she's got people that come in that just hang out for the day.
Right.
So.
And how do we contact you?
Our address is 1093 Fort Street. I'm between that's in Lincoln Park. And I'm between Outer Drive and Southfield. And the store number is 313-388-5000.
That's actually kind of an easy number.
That's an easy number.
And you have a web page. Tell us about your website.
I'm going to let you tell about the website because didn't you design it?
I didn't design it, but we needed something obviously up there that people knew who we were, what we were about, and what we're doing. So it's an informational website just stating how you can help us, how you can get involved, how you can find us, how you can donate, and it's forgetmenotthriftstore.com.
Okay. Tell us about what's on the site. I have been there, and it's very well done. Yeah, especially the memorial pages.
Right. First and foremost, there's our homepage. It states our mission statement and kind of why we are doing what we're doing. There's a memorial page that has my cousin Brad and Karen on there. We'd like to expand that to, others that have lost loved ones. I'd love to put, a memorial page for the community. Mm-hmm. And then we also have different items that you can donate, how you can get a tax credit for those donated items. We also do a clothing container program. And if you're, if you have an area or want to do a clothing drive, a shoe drive, any type of drive, we will set it up and get all the printed material for you if you want to pass flyers out. And then we actually come with different Gaylord boxes and signage, and we can help assist with different clothing drives.
We do that with the mom race. We bring they're called Gaylord boxes, and all the printed material, and we ask people to leave your running shoes when you leave. Just throw them in the box. Okay. Or if you want to bring
a bag of clothes.
You can bring them and throw it into the box. We also have a program. It's clothing bins, and that's throughout the Michigan area. And they kind of look like a mailbox, but of course they have our name and our logo
And it's bright orange. You can't miss it.
It says Forget Me Not. So if you are donating clothes, especially during the holidays, donations are pretty high. Mm-hmm. Donations are great because people are kind of cleaning out to get in the new. So if you have those clothes or shoes and you see a forget-me-not clothing bin in your area, definitely drop those things in. Or if you are a business owner or a church or a school and you would like to have a donation bin for recycling purposes, we would love to place one of our boxes.
And again, that phone number is 313-388-5000.
Yes.
All right. And I know, too, that you have voicemail and you're very prompt at returning phone calls.
I try to be, yes.
I understand the forget-me-not, which I thought was very, very clever with regards to connecting to suicide. How did you come upon that as a logo, if you will?
Well, I love flowers, and I never get tired of flowers. Flowers, I just love gardening, and my mother was a big gardener, and I was knew that I was going to do a thrift store, and actually, when I was thinking of thrift stores, it was before we had the deaths in the family, and I had a totally different name picked out.
Okay.
And then after we lost Bradley, and we lost Karen, and for a year, I kind of tried to, I don't want to say manage my children, but mother my children by all means, and keep everybody on the sidewalk going straight, not going down any alleys here.
Right.
And then after that, I opened the store, and I remember I was in the yard with my son and kind of pondering, and I'm like, what do you think I should have, Daniel? And we came up with forget-me-not, because I love forget-me-nots.
Mm-hmm,
they're so pretty and dainty,
yes.
And I love that flower, and I never want to forget our loved ones. Nobody wants to forget them. And then the other thing was, you don't want to forget about all that stuff that's in your basement that you need to donate to Forget Me Not Thrift Store. So it was a wonderful name. It kind of covered all the bases.
It does. It does. It was very clever.
Thank you.
And again, I was amazed when I got it. It definitely looked like a high-end retail store as opposed to a thrift store in there.
Thank you. It's beautiful. Thank you.
And color, the clothes, everything is very orderly.
I always tell everybody it's just like being at home. You're always picking up and hanging clothes and cleaning and dusting, and just like being at home.
Sure. Tell me about any special stories related to any of the pieces or the clothing or any really interesting pieces that have come in. If it's coming in from an estate sale, it's connected to a person.
I don't get a whole lot of background on things, but some of the unique items, like I have two Chinese altar chairs that are for sale right now, and they are absolutely beautiful and very odd and different. And so I get a lot of unique things in. Mm-hmm. I have a beautiful French armoire that I think is about 9 feet tall. It had to be broken down to get into my store, and then the person who broke that down had to reassemble it. And you had to have the same person because there were so many pieces.
Oh, my gosh.
So I get things like that, and I get a lot of designer clothing. Like right now I have a lot of Calvin Klein, Prada shoes, men's shoes, a lot of designer type product. And I have one customer. He's an elderly man that comes into my store. I absolutely love him. And he buys the most random items. And I never knew exactly why. He's older, so he has to have a lot. Usually when you're that old, you're purging.
Established, yeah.
Yes. Right. And he said, I love your store, and I want you to always be here. So I'm going to buy things. And he does, and it's not a shirt. He comes in and will buy a Waterford candy dish, or I have a lot of artwork, a signed art piece, or jewelry, cufflinks. It's very random. And then one day he came in with a bag, and he said, I want to donate this to you. I said, okay. And I opened up the bag, and it was the most beautiful vintage jewelry you've ever seen. And I was like, oh, I can't take this. Oh, no. I want you to have it. Well, don't you have children you would like to give it to? Nope, I want you to stay in business forever. So I'm giving this to you. I'm donating it to you to help you stay in business. And I'll never, ever forget that man. And
right.
He still comes in.
Wow.
And buys things.
So he's in the neighborhood.
Yes,
then.
He walks. I have a lot of walkers.
Okay.
That customer's name is Richard. But there's a lot of senior complexes around my area and a lot of walkers. So my sales are always down when it rains, because I have walkers. And that's another reason why I try to deliver things. If somebody needs a sofa, if they're walking, they have no way to get it back. So I try, that's why another reason why I try to always deliver for my customers.
Do you find that you have a lot of the same people coming in on a regular basis?
I do. I have a lot of regular people.
Like Stephanie said, they come in and sit and visit. It's kind of like you look up and you're like, oh, this looks like Greyhound bus station here. But I love it. I love that they come and they sit and they visit. And then if I need to run down to the dollar store and get a pop, they stay with my store until I get back. And I love that. I think that is really kind of an old-timey concept of sitting and visiting. Mm-hmm. But I get new customers every day, and I really appreciate that. And it's usually word of mouth. Okay. So that's really, really good.
Do you advertise?
I do. I've advertised in a few newspapers, and I'm advertising now for Forget Me Not Thrift Store. So that's great. And Stephanie did a little, she's in marketing, and she did a little Christmas, what would you call it?
Promotion,
where she has envelopes that are sealed, and you bring it back in the month of January, and whatever's in that envelope is what you get.
Okay.
So, you know, those are
you
going
shopping.
Over.
It always seems like there's so much income coming in December because people are purchasing, and sometimes you find that January, you're slower, and you know, people are cutting their budgets and New Year's resolutions and, you know, what have you. So when you've got that busier season, every time they purchase something, they get one of these envelopes. And then in January, they have to come back to open it in front of one of us.
Okay.
So there's different 50% off coupons or a pair of shoes.
Right.
10 books, DVDs, VHS.
Hey, we have it all. Records,
yeah.
10 records. You get 10 free records. Yeah. So that's fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Something fun. And the boxes are great advertising for us. I had a girl in recently. She said, I've seen your boxes in Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti, Canton, Dearborn. I'm like, that's great. So I appreciate that.
Super. Wow. Yeah. Now when people go to the store, are they coming in knowing about the suicide cause, or are they coming in primarily this is like, you know, the first time somebody comes in, are they coming in because it looks like an interesting resale store from the outside?
Really, there's a wide variety of why people come into the thrift store. Community, you know, if you live there, it's within walking distance. Mm-hmm. You know, with kids, it's very popular with college kids to shop thrift stores.
Yes.
And to volunteer at thrift stores. Mm-hmm. I've had another university come in 2 years now and volunteer. They were with a certain group. There, of course, there's people that have to buy resale. There are those people who are love antiques, or they're collectors, or they just like to see how low they can get the buy or find the roadshow find at the thrift store. So there's a lot of reasons why people come into the thrift store. Sometimes it's about the platform. They've heard, read about it in the newspaper, and they want to be supportive. Mm-hmm. My positive feedback at the thrift store, I would say, is 99%. Positive feedback, which is phenomenal for any business. And most people are the majority of people are very giving in regard to buying and passing the word along and donating. So I'm very grateful and very honored.
Wow.
Very honored to be there.
Yeah. You were talking about groups coming in. Are you looking for volunteers to come
always
in and help
Always looking
you?
For volunteers. Okay. Yes. We run the store by volunteerism.
Okay.
And there's always a wider range. I always say, you know, we would love to have you come volunteer. There's 10,000 things to do, pick two. So there's always hanging clothes and pricing clothes and organizing clothes and vacuuming and dusting and little projects we might want to move a display from one point to another, and it's large furniture, and you need help. I always think that I can do it myself, and I almost had an armoire fall on me the other day, and there was a man that works for me that he just happened to be there at the right time, stuck his hand out and caught it because I would have been plastered on the ground underneath that armoire. It would have been a made-for-TV Christmas movie, I'm sure.
Resale, not for the faint of heart.
So school groups you would welcome in?
Yes.
College groups? People,
college, high school.
High school looking for the points.
Yep. Yeah. I get a lot of, not a lot, but I get high school students who are maybe on National Honor Society
right.
that have to have community service hours. Mm-hmm. Or a lot of high schools are doing that now to graduate. You have to put in volunteer hours mm-hmm. with a nonprofit. I also have a community service program with the court system, so people who have to do hours to give back to the community for whatever reason, they come in and I track all of that and fill out all the paperwork for them and then mail that back to the court
okay.
system. So, and I'm always so grateful for their help. I don't think that I could have maintained the last 2 years without all the volunteerism, because
mm-hmm.
it's a big job.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big job.
Okay. We talked a little bit about the location and the phone number and the webpage, but we didn't mm-hmm. talk about hours. When are you open?
We are open Monday through Saturday, 10 in the morning till 6 in the evening.
And it's a great place to find almost anything, right?
Almost anything. Almost anything.
Okay. You brought in a CD. Tell me about the music that we're about to hear.
This first song is I Can Only Imagine by Mercy Me, and it was actually played at Brad's funeral, but we're, you know, a Christian family and Christian household, and the song is just talking about how it's going to be once you're in heaven. And for me personally, every time I listen to the song I cry, but I just see, you know, Brad and Karen and, you know, all sorts of loved ones that I've lost and friends, what they're doing up there, you know, what they're seeing and what they're experiencing. And we actually take, our family takes care of a little girl, long story, but has lost her parents. And she'll always say, oh, this is Bradley's song. Play Bradley's song again. Mm-hmm. So it's just a song that is unbelievably close to our hearts and wanted to share it.
Okay, let's take a listen.
What it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Sing hallelujah. Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you? I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Oh, that was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's a I love the band itself, but the song is definitely a song that is bittersweet.
Yeah. Bittersweet. Who did it? Tell us about the artist.
The artist is a Christian band, Mercy Me. I'm not like extremely familiar with them, but I do enjoy their music. And
as Stephanie said, we are a Christian family. We believe in heaven, and that music or that song just reminds us that we're just absent from them. But we know that we will see them again.
And that gives you comfort.
And that gives us comfort.
Okay.
It definitely does.
Tell us about your history with resale.
Okay. I've actually been in the thrift store business for a lot of years. Raised my kids in a thrift store. I worked for the old Pontiac Rescue Mission, which is called Grace Centers of Hope now. Mm-hmm. And I'll plug them a little bit. They are the largest and oldest homeless shelter in Oakland County.
Okay.
And the CEO, which is Kent Clark, a wonderful, wonderful person, is also my pastor. And I worked for him. One day he said, Kim, I want you. They opened up a little shop or was in the midst of opening up a shop, and he called me one day. I'm a congregant of this church for 27 years. Almost 28 years. And he said,
my age.
I have to gauge it by her age. Yeah. There. So
he now called, everyone knows.
Yeah. So he called me and said, I want you to go and run the thrift store. And I said, for some odd reason, I said, okay, I don't even like shopping. I'm not a shopper. I don't like to even grocery shop or any kind of shopping. So it was very ironic that I ended up in a thrift store. I wasn't familiar with thrift stores, had no idea what the concept was, but I ended up there.
Okay.
And I ran the store along with another guy, David Everingham. And then I ended up opening three more stores for them. They have four thrift stores. And then I opened up a Bible bookstore for him. And I had two warehouses. And I had I probably had a store that was probably, I would say, 15,000 square feet of just furniture. Opened that up for him. So I did a lot in the thrift store industry for the mission. And it was a lot of fun. And it was, you learn something every day, and even today, I learn something new probably every day in the thrift store business. So that's kind of my background. We were associated with a thrift store. It's called the Axe. It's an association of thrift stores. So we would go once a year to workshops, and sometimes they would ask me to teach those workshops.
Okay.
And just kind of give back what I had learned to new people who were coming into the industry. And that was a lot of fun, especially because most of them were like in Florida or California, so the weather was real nice and warm.
And I got to tag along and lay
right
all day.
That's right. That's was really
perk. I loved those ones.
Yes,
those are great.
Yes.
Perks. And when you're doing a seminar for a thrift store, what goes on in a seminar? Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the workshops that Dr. Gray is, who our consultant was, that I kind of facilitated, was pricing. Okay. You would be amazed at what you think is one price and what I think is one price. So I did the game, The Price is Right, and it was a lot of fun. And I brought different items and asked people what they thought it was worth. And I already knew what I could get for it in a thrift store. But then I was asking, you know, the audience, what would you get? And it was very, very, it was very funny because a lot of people generally lost money. And I'm like, oh, you know, you got to raise those prices. It would be about something like that. Or if you did want to make more of a profit, how do you go about that subtly. And there actually is a rhyme and a reason to how you lay your store out by going from right to left, and in what departments are first, second, and third, and you know how many feet between your racks.
Systems.
Yeah, kind of a system, okay. I guess you would say.
So if somebody walks into the Forget-Me-Not thrift store on a Tuesday morning and sees you and says, I like this, I want this, but I will give you this much. Is there a little bartering that happens?
I don't do that.
Okay.
I know that some people do that. I'm just not good with that. That's my area. I honestly try to take the price as low as I can go to still stay in business. So if I have I keep referring to this French armoire because it's my most favorite piece in the whole store. I want to say at the estate sale, it was $3,500, I think. Between $35,000 and $4,000.
Okay.
And in my store, it's $1,200. So I really discount things as low as I possibly can. So I try not to do that. Sometimes if something has been sitting there for a long time, or the other thing that I always giggle about, when it's at the end of the day and somebody comes in and says, oh, this is $50, I'll give you $40. I'm like, okay, fine. Because I'm tired, and they all laugh and say, oh, we're going to shop at the end of the day.
So the Tuesday morning thing doesn't work, but if it's Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, okay. If you catch me between 5 and 6, I'm tired, and I'll probably go for anything.
Open for discussion.
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
Well, that is very interesting because, of course, there's a business. You know, it's a business, and you're helping people with causes, and it's just an incredible thing that you're doing. So I'm so impressed with that store.
Thank you.
I didn't know what to expect, and I walked in there and it was absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. I get a lot of, it's funny because you and I are probably the same age, I would say, and we've probably seen a lot of, like, from our parents, from our mother, maybe different, you know, dishware or linens. I know growing up, I never slept on a pillowcase that wasn't starched, ironed, and embroidered, every single one. Well, when kids come in, like a telephone, a dial telephone, they don't know what it is, and they'll just look, and it's like, how do you do this, you know? They'll be poking at the phone, or they'll look at, and I love it when kids come in and they have, I have an old spinning wheel. They're like, what is this? And they'll make the wheel go around, and I'll tell them what it is, and they're in awe. And I love it when kids like the old stuff and the vintage things. And
you can learn from that, too. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
So we are looking to have groups go in or individuals go in to volunteer, and the number to call you is?
313-388-5000.
Okay. And again, you're open Monday through Saturday from 10 until 6.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
One of the questions, I talked to somebody else who was actually in resale, and she's involved with a totally different store. And one of the things she told me is that the number of wedding gowns they had in was just rack after rack of these wedding gowns. And I can't imagine. I wore my mother's, and I can't imagine getting rid of it. It's in a box. I'll never wear it again. But I have it. It's mine. It was hers. It's very precious. And I just wonder how many of these were like from divorces or bad news marriages.
Yeah.
And now you have rack after rack. But the funny thing that she told me, we were talking a little bit ago about the seasonal shopping. And she said after Halloween, the wedding gowns are basically gone because everybody's buying those for props, if you will.
Costumes. Yes. I had a lady, I picked up an estate sale, and the lady was the grand poupas of the Masons, which is, don't know what the organization is, but it's the Masons.
Okay.
And she had all of these gowns, and they had all kinds of bling on them, all kinds of glitz and glamour, and there must have been 50 of them. And they had already sold at the estate sale probably 30 of them a high school drama department. So they had called me and said, look, this certain high school will probably be calling you. We gave them your name and number, But I sold a lot of those for Halloween costumes. It was really cute. It was funny. And I do get a lot of wedding gowns and beautiful veils. And I think as far as donating those items, you know, my wedding dress is special to me or my mother's, but I don't, maybe by the time it gets to Stephanie or Stephanie's child, it's not going to be so special anymore. So that's a lot of times what gets donated. And I used to have a the movie industry, because Detroit was getting to be a big movie industry, you know, place. And I would have the companies who do the props for the movies would come in and buy quite a bit of things from me, mostly furniture. But that was kind of interesting and getting connected with them.
Sure. That is interesting.
Yeah.
So you have the clothes, you have the shoes, you have the housewares, books.
Lots of books. Books and books and books. Lots of books. And the books that I don't, actually I don't use, because I honestly I get boxes and boxes of books and I only have so much space for books, I donate to other charities that have book sales.
Okay.
So Methodist Church in Wyandotte, and they have a huge book fair once a year. So she comes every week and takes boxes of books with her, and then she, the ones that they use, or I mean that they don't use, they pass on to another charity. So I try to network with different nonprofits. I try to give as much as I can. I've been accused of giving more away than I do selling. So, but that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Right. And again, we're talking to Kim, and we're talking to Stephanie Gross from the Forget Me Not Thrift Store, and that's in Lincoln Park. And it's not just a thrift store; it's a very special thrift store that raises money for suicide prevention causes and mental health causes. Thank you both so much for being part of Impact. This has been really wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Getting to know more about the store and getting to know more about you guys. We have one more cut that you wanted to play, Stephanie?
Yep.
Tell me about this.
Next song is by Matt Costa. If anyone's ever had to deal with a suicide, you are trying to grasp for why did they do it. And if they didn't leave a note, you're wondering, what was their last thought? What were they thinking? Who did they call? Who did they talk to? Why didn't they call me? What, you know, I'm always available. So when my cousin Brad passed away, he had shot himself outside of his car.
Okay.
So when we went to the place where his car was, we got in his car, and the first song was What You're Gonna Play, was what was playing. And I had never heard of Matt Costa before, and I thought, okay, well, I'm going to pick this CD up. And I took the next 6 months, listen, that's the only CD that was in my car, because I was like, there's got to be something.
A hint.
There's got to be a hint.
Yeah.
So this is a song by Matt Costa, and it's a great song.
Okay. We're going to close with that, but before we go to that music, one more time, the web address?
ForgetMeNotThriftStore.com.
Okay. And the phone number?
313-388-5000.
Thank you so much. And will you have information on the website about the mom?
This again, it's the first Saturday of May, which is May 5th.
Right before Mother's
Day. Right before Mother's Day, yep.
Right.
And if you're interested in participating on our team name is K-Rock, and it's because my sister-in-law, when she was at college, was a DJ for a small morning show, and her DJ name was K-Rock.
So that's
so
our team name. Up for K-Rock.
Yep.
Okay.
And anyone can contact us with more information about that.
Terrific. Thank you again so much for
coming in
to Impact.
I've been waiting, pacing along the halls ever since you left here. I've been cleaning, scrubbing the plates and weeding out the garden deer. I can't fall asleep till your mystery slowly glowing from the shore. I have not felt to be what you'd expect of me, swallowing glass just to stay pure. All the birds are heading down south, but you're staying alone.
and sheets. It's going to be a cold December. It could be warm, you see, statue next to me, swimming away from us in snow. Could I have fantasy, the signs in front of me, warning in flashing symbols, subtle and simple, I couldn't see. I couldn't see. If only time could slow down, then maybe I could come on. It's such a cold December. It's such a cold December. It's so gone, your Christmas cards can't comfort me. You found new friends and tied all the ends. It's freezing in the loneliest winter. It could be a warm, you see, statue next to me, swimming away from us in snow.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. Good Tuesday afternoon. It is just about 1 minute past 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Mark Anthony with you until 4 o'clock. And we're going to do a special program today. Normally, you can catch me every Saturday.